racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, LeaderShield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
At the races with Steve Bick. Racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
We're back to Keeneland, day two, book one, the September yearling sale. Thanks to Tony Lacey and to Cormac Brannock for just a terrific opening hour, and we're going to follow up. I promised you Gary Gullo. We went, let's see, Saratoga was open from July 15th to September, whatever, 5th, 6th. Couldn't get him on the radio the entire meet, but, and of course, famously, opening day about 4 years ago when you won the two races and you made everybody rich. That was one of the greatest appearances in At the Races history. But Gary Gullo here on behalf of Anthony, GMP Racing. And good morning.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Great. I the funniest thing ever. That here we are in Kentucky and I get to see you and talk to you. We couldn't. The Saratoga was just inconvenient for whatever reason. And obviously you're here, you know, perusing for Anthony.
Sure. We got one in the sale and we're always saying when we come to sales we're not buying anything, but we ended up buying three or four every time we come to the sales, you know. You know how it is.
How do you say no? When is the one going through?
Tomorrow.
Book two.
Hip number 485.
Hip 485. And
that's what we're selling.
I didn't even realize that Anthony was breeding.
Well, yeah, we're breeding. We have eight mares right now, and in November we're going to be looking to buy maybe three more at a November sale. So, but they're kind of high end, and we sold one horse in the Saratoga Select sale for $1,050,000.
That's right.
So, and another one for $260,000. So it was, it's been pretty good so far. You know, we've been lucky. You know, with breeding end of it, this, you know, I'm not really into breeding, but today's day, I believe you have to breed because you can't really afford to buy these horses that are higher end. I don't think you could.
How did you, talking about the Saratoga sale, and, you get a seller like that, that basically, it's clean up on aisle three. Cleans up a lot of mistakes or things that went wrong.
Sure. That makes up for a lot.
Yeah.
It really does. You know, and that's our first year really kind of selling. So, I hope we don't get too spoiled.
Well, look at Bobby Flay Bobby.
Yeah, he sold one.
Every baby out of that America is selling for seven figures at this point. And this is after he had spent a lot of money, and it feels like he's getting the return now after he sort of kind of started with a scattershot approach, then started to drill down carefully, and now seems to have a a steady supply and an elite broodmare band that is
right. And that's what we're trying to look to do. Yeah. You know, we're trying to look to get some nice mares. Elliot Wallen helped us a lot getting mares, and Mike at Dutchess View Farm helped us in the beginning, and he still continues to help us. But, you know, I kind of went with people that are successful, and Anthony knows he's got to spend the money, you know, to get some good mares. I mean, we average $500,000 for each mare that we're trying to buy, and, just hope for the best. Things have been looking good with that end of it.
Well, Anthony, the former Bob Peterson Stables that everybody might remember, made the transition to GMP, and part of it, you know, your departure from training every day into this capacity as kind of a catch-all manager and executive director of the operation, and it includes, as we discussed quite a bit this summer, the farm, the former Stonebridge Farm. I always say Stonegate because I know Bill Johnson, but the former Stonebridge farm. That Nielsen.
No, not that was a Tucker.
Jeff Tucker. Right. Thank you. Has been completely remade into essentially New York's top rehab center.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really a state-of-the-art, first-class place. You know, we kind of redid the racetrack. We did really in New York. You're not going to find anything,
nothing
like that. You know, in Kentucky, they're beautiful farms.
Well,
nice,
Kessmark. Basically the Kessmark of New York.
Yes, yeah. And the difference we have with other than Kessmark is we have a 7/8 mile racetrack, and we're just going to run it from March until November, as far as with the racetrack goes.
Just
shut it down because we have with the poly tapeta track, so we just don't want to bother with the winter too much. But, you know, we have everything there. It's a beautiful facility. It's all, you know, like I said, first-class place.
The list, and people heard me talk about it this summer. We had Scherzando there. He's now back at Belmont and getting ready to resume racing. And he it was a freshening and had all the essential horse spa treatments. There's the cold water salt hydrotherapy. There's the hyperbaric, which is going to be in October.
Right.
You got the cryotherapy, the PEMF therapy, the pulse, the electromagnetic field operation, the laser therapy, infrared imaging. I mean, every possible, the vibrator, the shaking
plate.
Floor. Everybody loves that. The magic fingers for horses.
And the dry salt spa is excellent also.
Yeah.
Exercise.
What about the treadmill?
The water treadmill should be coming also. That's in the works. We're just trying to plan on what we're going to do.
Augment.
A lot of people have mixed feelings about that.
Really?
Some people love it, some people don't. And we just want to try to get the feel from a lot of people who had it before and just to see. That's just a question mark right now. But we just love to get the horses in for maybe 3 weeks, a month or so, and just try to get them fixed up, looking beautiful, try to take care of their problems, and send them right back to the trainers.
You've got Vet Tech, Renata Mulligan, Steve Rydowski, of course, the manager that everybody knows, Steve. And I've not actually had the physical tour. I just drove through. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Just gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a really great spot. And also he has the human end of it, spa.
Is it open now?
Yeah, it's open now, and it's another thing that's, on the other end of the farm, where I don't really have nothing to do with, but it's a beautiful place. Everybody loves it, and, Abby does a great job there, and I think anybody who's you know, next year or whenever anybody's up there, to go stop by and see it.
Well, and people will be up for the sale, you know, for the fall sale.
Yeah, yes.
And anybody that's going to come leaf peeping, you make a trip. You can go on Facebook, GMP Farm Equine Rehab and Training. There's also an Instagram page, GMP_farm, GMP Farm. And if you've got a horse that you need a turnout with, if you want to get a hold of Steve, like today, 516-606-2949. Steve Rydowski, 516-606-2949. He'll give you a tour. He'll tell you what they can do for you, GMP Farm. And, you know, since we're mentioning the farm, we should also mention that Tony also acquired the Union Gables, also the other
Brunswick
B&B, and basically the nicest accommodations in Saratoga.
Yeah, right on Union Avenue. It's a beautiful bed and breakfast. My son actually runs both of them.
Oh, yeah. And he came on with us.
Right, yeah. And it's just a great place. They're always kind of booked, so you got to try to get in advance, you know, booking. But it's the only place with a big pool, nice, beautiful place where you can walk the town.
Right to the track. Yeah. Exactly. It's perfectly, you know, just off the park, off Congress Park, basically, like two blocks from the park and four blocks from the track.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous, too. And if you stay there during the summer, Gary Siakam stays there.
Gary Siakam, that's another one.
That's a bat. Now, there's
he's got his own suite. You know.
The Siakam. During the rest of the year, you can request the Siakam suite.
The suite, yeah.
It's like George Washington slept here.
Yes,
we're going to put the sign out front.
That's for sure.
But Gary Siakam slept here.
Yeah, that's it.
Gary, you're going to be shopping maybe if something catches your eye.
Yeah, we're going to be shopping and we'll see what happens. You know, you never know here.
it's
tough.
You show up here, you're coming home with a horse. It's pretty hard. You're going to get rid of one, then you bring three home.
Yeah,
that's the challenge essentially. Yeah. Well, I'm glad we got this visit in. I wanted to do it all summer.
Yeah. No, thank you very much, Steve.
Not at all. Let us know what's going on.
You got
GMP Farm. Right there in Schuylerville, just heading up toward Bacon Hill, and then you take basically West River Road, and it's basically both sides of the road. It's amazing.
Yeah, and they got a great place, that King's Dairy. You've been there.
Sure,
right?
Sure. The King's gets plenty of pushes on the air.
Right, yeah, well, they the best chocolate milk ever.
The chocolate milk is, well, Well, Battenkill, it's neck and neck with Battenkill.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. Battenkill, they're both...
Well, I guess, real quick, Jeremiah Engelhardt told me about the pickles that are there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Sure.
They're unbelievable.
They're good.
They're off
good.
The chart. I mean, it's
okay, we're going to have to take you. I got to take you to Vermont.
You got to show you a few
little
farm potatoes. We do. You know, we worry about eating. Where are we going to eat? Where are we going to eat? Where's the best, you know?
That's the first priority. Exactly. Exactly right. Gary Gullo, everybody. Gary, good luck tomorrow with the baby. What's the hip number again?
485.
485. Who's and by who?
It's Norquist. This is Magic is the mare. We have the mare. So
This is Magic by and who's the sire?
Norquist.
Oh, Norquist. Yeah, there you go. You said Norquist. I'm sorry. Norquist. Beautiful. We're rooting for you.
All right, you got it.
Thanks so much. Let me get a picture of you. Hold on. Let me get Jessica Martini is going to join us from TDN. Only an hour after we expected. Actually, Jess, come. Do you know Gary Gullo? You ever meet? Well, you got. You really should actually because they're selling tomorrow. Hip 485, GMP Farm. Gary Gullo, Jessica Martini, and you know what we say on At the Races. It's always a good time for a martini when it's Jessica Martini.
There you go.
It's the greatest name ever.
Great.
Come take a picture with Gary.
Sure.
There we go. You can take that headset off, Gary. That way you don't. I guess it's not gonna mess your hair up, is it? There you go. She just met. There we go. Beautiful. That's a home run. Thank you. All right. Well, you out, her in. Jess, do you want the mic or do you want the headset? It's up to you. Okay, Mike's fine. Yeah, you can do Mike. I got this new cord. It sounds great. And we don't want to.
No, maybe I'll do headphones.
Yeah,
I've got my notes.
I hear you. Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, you thought I did this off of my
Well, I That's the funniest thing. Gullo, the whole summer, I can't get Gullo to visit at Saratoga the whole summer. We wanted to talk about the farm and this GMP farm. And, you know, here he is, shows up here, and I get that conversation, and we've waited all summer for. Too funny. Jessica Martini, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Excellent. And this is a treat because it's our first live visit with you.
I'm a little nervous, but...
hardly a reason. I guess we can determine how voracious the appetite for yearlings is going to be again today. There has not been a soul, really. I saw the Greens. I saw Len and John. But otherwise, everybody is working the hill right now, up and down. It is a glorious day.
Yes, it's a glorious day. And I personally always gauge by the parking lot. And the parking lot is full. So
so you expect?
I expect there to be plenty of demand.
What did you make of yesterday? Let's start talking about some results, and then we'll start to speculate on the second half of Book One and then what lies ahead. Felt like this exceeded even the highly anticipated expectation for success.
I think so. I think the word for this session yesterday was blockbuster. I just think it started off with an $850,000 yearling for the first tip through the ring, which is very unusual. Usually it takes some time to get started, and this was right up front. We're going for gangbusters.
Hip number two, sorry.
And it just went on from there.
You had a $1 million seller by what? Hip eight?
Eight, right. The Whisper Hill Horse.
just.
And it didn't let up till the very end.
No.
And the pavilion was packed. I haven't seen it this packed, you know, for a long time.
Every seat. Almost every seat.
Yep. And there was an energy in it. And I think that's what Keeneland has been trying to cultivate, sort of this atmosphere. They had the live music. They had the past hors d'oeuvres and the cocktails. And, you know, they want to create an atmosphere where people come in. I thought it was interesting. Tony Lacey said that not a single horse was bought over the internet yesterday. And that's been a popular thing.
Wow.
You know, there were a lot of underbidders on the internet.
Wow.
But not a single.
I hadn't heard that.
Yes. So, and I think that's a reflection of how many people were in the pavilion and the energy. It was all here. Everyone who wanted to buy a horse was here. So I think that's what they were trying to cultivate going into this Book One. And I think they accomplished that.
Well, and you know, Tony said something in the last half hour that actually surprised me a little bit, because he said that he felt even that some of the outs from yesterday took away from the total, which is almost scary to think about.
Yeah, in the days leading up to the sale, I think people were talking about what a great group of horses this was. The pedigrees were just outstanding. The physicals were outstanding. So you can only imagine, you know, the Untappable and the Songbird, if what would have happened if they were here.
Who else? And of course, the Flightline Sibling that came out. I mean, that was the headliner. I'm trying to think of where is it that it's from Hoosiers. The great line that Norman Dale. I would rather you, you know, you concentrate on who we are, not who we aren't. So we're not going to worry about those missing yearlings. They'll turn up soon enough at a racetrack near you.
Racetrack near you, exactly. And there's part of me that's a little happy that they weren't here, because we were a little exhausted.
running around
yesterday. So. We got it all done, but it was a little iffy there at some times.
Well, and this is the toughest for those. You heard me, and you heard you also heard the reference from Tony about the hill. There is a pronounced. I mean, for those of you that have never been here, any of you that have either partied on the hill and tailgated here, you know what we're talking about. But the way the barns are laid out on a tiered slope, essentially, this is on the rest of the week that we're going to have. It's fine, because it's gloriously beautiful, and just a hint of, there's a little, even in 80 degree temperature, there's that little coolness that makes it so pleasant. So tromping up and down this week is fine.
Right.
There are times that
come here in January.
We can see how you like it then.
Yeah, we were here on Sunday too, and it was a little rainy. So that's not as much fun.
Well, when the wind, I've said to people, you know, they said, "Oh, you going to Keeneland?" And they're like, "Well, you don't like Keeneland." Sometimes I don't like Keeneland. I said, for the longest time, I would come here in the spring. 36 degrees and howling wind, and at that point
I was here on those exact same days,
right?
You were.
And yep, I was like, what is so wonderful? Everybody's like, I can't wait for Keeneland. Really?
It's 36 degrees and the women are all wearing short dresses, and you're like, what
are you talking about? Just there's nowhere to hide either.
Nope.
unless you got a pass to the green room or the gold room. You better eat your Wheaties and be wearing the Woolies.
Uh-huh. That's what I think.
So that's my that was my early Keeneland experience. It seemed like every time I came here, it was just miserable and cold and I was it a Churchill? Was it I guess that was actually a Churchill for a Breeders' Cup where my gloves. I had a pair of gloves that I lent. I'm not going to say whose wife. But I don't want to. She knows who she is.
They say chivalry is dead.
Well, my
after that it probably was.
They'll put a tracker in those next time. I'm just kidding. Chris, I'm just kidding. She can keep them. We'll see if this gets back to me. This is like a message in a bottle. You remember when we were kids and every so often they found a message in a bottle from 1893 from some, you know, from some
pirate. Just going to get gloves in the mail. No, just gloves in the mail.
Oh, my God. Jessica Martini's with us. This is why the face-to-face is so much more fun, because I go, you know, I try to
get the banter going.
Yes, and I try to make guests laugh, and so from your perspective yesterday, last time we were here, Mike Rapoli and Vinny Viola were buying them by the gross, essentially, literally by the dozen, four dozen, according to Tony from last year.
Mm-hmm.
They seem on that path again. Talk about the buying bench and some of the highlights in the story today, the multi-page first day recap.
Sure. We had $9 million horses. I think only one of them was bought by an overseas interest, with Hideki Mori buying the half.
Yes.
To justify. Everything else was domestic buyers, and the strength of domestic bench right now is so strong, I think, you know, because of a couple of factors. Obviously, the purse levels are so high that, you know, people want to buy racehorses. They see how they can make a profit here. Also, you have the kind of a less favorable exchange rate, so that may be discouraging foreign buyers to participate. But the domestic bench is just incredibly strong right now. You mentioned Mike Rapoli and Vinny Viola. They were active yesterday. And I thought it was very interesting that Mike Rapoli was actually here. I have not seen him. I don't remember in the last several years. So I think that goes back to creating that atmosphere. They have, you know, a principal like that on the grounds participating in the process, and that only adds to the enthusiasm.
Some of these highlights, you mentioned the nine seven-figure sellers. What was book one? How many seven figures last year?
There were three in the first session and 15 overall for the entire sale. So we're on pace to obliterate that figure.
You could reach that figure today.
Sure. Yeah, and with some of these pedigrees, you probably can. Yes, for sure.
Unbelievable. One thing I brought up with Cormac was I thought the balance, usually you see those seven-figure sellers, and, you know, eight out of the nine are going to be colts with you know, looking for stallion pedigrees,
right?
Essentially. The fillies sold very, very well.
Right. I think Mandy Pope made a big purchase.
Yes.
Of a filly. You know, I mean, that's somebody who's probably looking ahead. She has a broodmare band. So, yes, there are all these partnerships that are formed to find future stallions, but they're also high-end breeders who are looking for future broodmares as well.
How, I don't want to say disruptive, but actually the disruptive is probably the right word. How disruptive to the marketplace, essentially, is Donato Lanny and SF's focus and the new Wiseboard Crow Colts group in terms of, you know, sucking the oxygen out of the room and forcing anybody else that is interested in a classic Colt to go deep, deep, deep into their pocket?
Sure. I mean, I think that's a plus for the industry because, you know, you're now we're creating more competition. But I do remember last year when there was that focus on Colts that some of the pinhookers were saying, you know, we can't buy Colts because we're getting pushed out of that market. So now the pinhookers are having to focus more on the fillies because of that those entities, which I thought was an interesting angle that, you know, that they have to change their buying protocol because of what's happening with these partnerships.
I suppose that, you know, given, you know, any number of successes on the classic trail, when we think about, you know, the various success stories, I mean certainly you think about, well, let's say Epicenter, right? Not this time. And of course, Cyberknife, the Gunrunner element is already established, but there's certainly, you would think, as much potential to look to book two and three. I mean, there's going to be horses in 2 years that we see winning Louisiana Derbies and Arkansas Derbies and Wood Memorials and so forth and Triple Crown races that, you know, came out of book two and three and four.
Sure, I think that's been shown historically. I think when you have that competition at the top level of the market, obviously that's going to leave people who are working the sale and going through the lower books, they're going to find bargains because, you know, everyone's focusing on these certain group of top horses. That leaves a lot of room for other people underneath that. I think John Sakura the other day said that he thought that, you know, what these horses bring in the ring, not necessarily a true evaluation of what their long-term value is going to be. That you know, there are plenty of bargains that people are finding. If you look at the results after the weekend, there are plenty of horses winning important races who aren't bringing those top prices. So, yeah, there's plenty of room for other people to get involved.
From your perspective, what are we looking toward today? And I guess you can even fold in the book two sessions. Then we'll be off on Friday, right, for mm-hmm. for kind of a reset, and then, you know, some of the real intense and long days, to be honest. I mean, because the start, we have these 2 1 o'clock sessions mm-hmm. for book one, but now we're going to start to, you know, have longer days with earlier starts as the, you know, the long haul essentially gets rolling, but include a little book two as well into today's advance essentially.
Okay, I think we always talk about with this sale, the momentum is so important, and once you get off to that big start and people are getting shut out, it translates into the next day, into the next day, into the next day, and this sale is just only going to get stronger. Obviously, there's going to be a different buying base and a different top-level price, but it's going to be very competitive, I think, straight through to the end. I think there are some foreign buyers who are here in the grounds that are going to get involved much more aggressively. I think there's Saudi money here. I think there's Japanese money here. So it's something that's going to build from yesterday throughout.
The other part of this, and I brought this up with Cormac, as well, the other part of momentum is with people being turned away and with underbidding, the further they go into the week, into book two and book three, now they're going to start to bump heads with the pinhookers,
right,
who have their own orders to fill. I mean, these, you know, all the developers of talent, I mean, they've got to go back to Ocala and wherever in South Carolina and Texas, etc., with horses. There's not.
They don't have an option.
No,
this is what they do.
They're not going to Costco and bringing any home.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They have to buy horses. This is how they earn their living. So it doesn't matter how expensive they are. They're going to have to buy horses. Maybe they go home with a few fewer, but they have to participate because that's what they're doing.
From your experience, when tracking the pinhook mentality at the sale. And, you know, and honestly, when the market was soft, particularly the middle market, it's funny. What is a soft middle market for one portion of this equation is a bonanza for pinhookers, right? Because they can weave straw into gold. You know, horses that were undervalued in September, all they have to do is breeze 9 and 4 and right, 10 sure. flat, and suddenly they're worth $500,000. So, you know, 70 or 90,000 in September.
Well, the other part of that is, yes, they're buying into a strong market here. They're going to have to pay more than they expected, but
then
in the two-year-old sales, I mean, the two-year-old sales from this spring were very strong. So they're also selling into a strong market. So as long as that those trends continue, it all translates to the same thing, I think.
When do you expect? I mean, I have not gone through all of yesterday's 140 hips, but when do you expect to start to see them showing up, some of the pinhook operations?
Again, most of the major ones are here. I think I saw Eddie Wood signing.
I saw Eddie yesterday.
I think he signed for one. Yeah. I think Paul Redham's Red Wings pinhooking partnership bought one yesterday. So they're here and they're shopping. They're probably right now just looking for maybe horses that fall through the cracks in book one, and they'll get stronger in two and three.
And that, yeah, oh, the Red Wings right there. There you go. Red Wings won for $300,000. One thing that doesn't seem as, and of course, you guys make it easy at TDN to track this with the pinhook guide. Haven't seen, now that I'm thinking about it, maybe with this market, haven't seen the sort of Hartley Dorenzo concept from a few years ago of paying $750 and then selling them for $2.5 or $3. Feels like that high wire act is back, right?
I seem to remember Hartley Dorenzo last spring saying, you know, they had maybe toned it down a little bit, and I think they've actually done less pinhooking in recent years than they had been doing too.
I didn't look at, I printed it out, but I haven't had a chance to compare the weanling purchases and the short yearling purchases to what went on yesterday. Any nothing but net successes?
I'm glad you brought this up because I actually wanted to mention Stonehaven Steadings, the Red X Farm, which had such a great day yesterday. They obviously had that $2.5 million sale topper, and they sold an $825,000 into Mischief. Both of those were homebreds, but they also pinhooked a horse. They had a Gunrunner who sold for $775,000 that they bought last fall for $210,000. So they were hitting on all cylinders yesterday.
How about that?
And I'm very proud of Stonehaven Steadings. I don't know that this is true, but I think I am the first person that wrote about them when the Red X came to Kentucky years and years ago.
Oh, wow.
Before they bred Shanghai Bobby. So I take...
That's great.
I have absolutely nothing to do with it, but I wrote that story.
No,
so.
That's sweet. That's like when you, you know, you see a baby, you see a two-year-old working in the morning or something, or you see a, win a race somewhere and you latch onto them before
exactly.
they become stars. That's
yep.
Absolutely.
I picked a good one.
Without a doubt. I didn't realize they were that fresh. That, you know, maybe it's because the name. Stonehaven Steedings, it has an antique-ish quality.
Yeah.
It's got kind of a burnished, sepia tone to it.
Okay, I believe they were breeding in Louisiana for a while, and then their daughter came to Kentucky for college, and they followed her up and
How
started
about that?
The farm. Yeah, mm-hmm. They're wonderful
wow.
people.
got to get them on the air.
You should definitely do that.
Listen, there's so many. I mean, it's amazing, actually. I mean, there's so many great stories, and the fact that came up with Tony Lacy, the people. I mean, that's what makes this
sure.
You know, makes it what it is. On the First Crop Sires, let's get an update from you on this. We talked obviously at Saratoga, where there was a sampling. Talked yesterday with Nicole Russo, and we kind of surveyed what have you seen from summer to now early fall in terms of the growth cycle of some of the First Crop Sire progeny.
As far as yesterday, I think Omaha Beach had the biggest sale for the First Crop Sire, so I think he's poised. I think he has some well-related horses in today, too, so I think if I look at my notes. See, you don't see I'm looking at my notes when I'm on the phone. That's why I'm on the phone.
I wouldn't have told anybody
that utilizing
notes.
Yeah, he has a half to a Golden Pal out of a lady shipment. So
oh wow,
that's a hip 308 today. So could have another big sale today.
Who else among the First Crops are you intrigued by? And some of the names. Well, I'll tell you one name that I think yesterday I brought up with Nicole and stressed. We looked at the quantities. Matoli's presence, it'll come later, later in the sale, but Matoli's presence is very interesting in these catalogs.
Yeah, I think there are probably a bunch of those that were popular at the earlier sales that are in the later books. But I think like Audible, I know it was very popular over the summer, so you would expect him to have horses in the later books that are going to be popular as well.
And there's my First Crop notes. There we go. So I've got notes.
Oh, wait, you've got notes too. All right.
I have notes. I've got,
feel better about my notes.
I've got a Gutenberg Bible here in the notes.
I'd like everyone to know I have two sheets of paper.
I've got a ream. A lot of these are PPs though.
Okay.
A lot of PPs. We had some fun talking. This is poorly framed, but we had a lot of fun talking about the sons of dead sires.
Artists, they're very popular.
Catholic Boy figures to benefit from More Than Ready's passing.
There you go.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Nicole brought up Copper Bullet as somebody to watch. That's under the radar.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I have not heard about the Copper Bullets, but yeah, I think anytime you can get into a stallion line that has proved successful in the past, you're going to want to take that advantage.
In terms of the numbers, again, if you missed yesterday, Omaha Beach has got 88 in the sale, 95 Vino Rossos, 92 Audibles. Those are the big numbers. 77 Matoli's, as I noted. Yeah, those are the biggest numbers. Then in the 50s, Catalina Cruiser, and the son of Union Rags, 54, and Catholic Boy, as just mentioned, 57, 51. How about 51? Maximus Mischiefs.
Oh, interesting.
How about that?
I think he had a good sale at Saratoga, right? If I remember correctly.
Well, and that just speaks to Into Mischief's power.
Sure.
And I believe he's the only Into Mischief son that has first yearlings.
Oh yeah, probably. Yeah.
No, I take that back. I'm wrong.
Audible.
Okay. Forgot about Audible at the top of the page. Yeah, there's.
Yeah, I think those First Crop Sires will gain prevalence as we go further into the sale. I think the book one horses tend to be more the
line. We mentioned Catholic Boy, Yoshida, that has got the potential to go either surface, and that's a that's really it's an advertising benefit. It's a feature, of a son or daughter of those kinds of sires, Scat Daddies and Sons of Scat Daddy, and More Than Ready, of course, who, was, as we've referred to, the hidden turf angle that Lauren Stitch made famous.
Right.
And More Than Ready, I think, was, I said this to Sid last week, the first, I remember her citing, the first time I remember that term.
Mm-hmm.
Was in reference to More Than Ready,
right.
that she warned people that he was going to get turf runners,
okay,
and couldn't have been more right.
And Wesley Ward yesterday bought a Justify filly that they're planning on to take to Royal Ascot. So obviously they're thinking he can he'll be a good turf sire as well.
He's already planning? He bought a yearling?
They bought specifically to bring to Royal Ascot. That's what I was told.
Well, he had...
I can only report what I was told.
Wow. talk about specific plans.
He bought in partnership with My Racehorse and other partners. So.
Interesting. Well, that's a story. What hip was that?
It was kind of early in the day. I think ended up with Ben McElroy was the agent.
We will dig that one up, and that's obviously
look for her next summer.
Well, that's a track and follow as we right?
Oh, okay.
draft as they say in the professional sports leagues, draft and follow.
Okay.
Right? There you go. All right. How about a couple of hips that you're excited about today? I got a couple of hip lists here.
Okay, we've got a Justify Colt who's a half to Creative Cause is coming up at hip 222. There's a Curlin that's a half to Dre Fong, the sprint champion. And we have a full brother to Gulfport, who was placed in a couple of graded races at Saratoga over the summer. That's 242.
242.
247 is a full brother to Authentic that Peter Blum will be selling with Bridie Harrison.
Peter Blum, and the timing couldn't be better. We got Josh Blum standing right here. Isn't that funny? And in fact, that horse is right here, right? Right, standing with Bridie, right? Oh, after the show, I'm going to run over and take a look and take my picture with that one.
There you go. It'll be a draft and follow.
Draft.
Now, I'm a quick learner.
Now you've got a new term. You can work that in.
Work that in.
Unbelievable.
Sure.
Too funny. All right, 242, 247, 222. This is that Justify. Dream of Summer.
Sure, that's 222, right?
Dream of Summer. Was that a Glen Hill Dream of Summer?
I don't believe so.
Now you're going to make me do this. I because my mind is I was going to I thought that was maybe Proctor, but maybe not. I saw Craig Burnick here Sunday.
Glen Hill is actually consigning horses under its own banner this year.
Nice. Here we go. Dream of Summer, of course, by Siberian Summer. No, I guess not. Calbred, I knew California, but I didn't. Juan Garcia. And she was a nice, more than a nice Calbred, actually. And
not a bad broodmare.
No, and came to, James Weigel was the owner breeder.
That's what it is.
Yeah, and Juan Garcia trained. All right. Different
they all
image.
Run together at they, some
well,
point.
That you're not kidding. Here, how about okay? A couple more hips.
We have 289 is an Uncle Mo half to Accelerate.
Ooh. 280, got it.
289. 305 is a Go Sapper who's a half to Nix Go.
Well, that yikes! Mm-hmm. Oh, Cosmo's buddy, absolutely the outflanker mare.
Mm-hmm.
Blake Albina. Very nice. Oh, and there's the Lady Shipman Golden Pal sibling, 308.
308, right. Hip 326 is a full sister to Hard Not to Love and a half to Wonder Godot with Dave Anderson from Canada.
Wow.
So you see why we're getting caffeinated for today's session.
Oh, my God. Well, and then what about the, is the Vino Rosso still there?
I believe that's out.
That's an out. That was
taking him off my list, so I think that's what that means.
That was the Curlin. That was John Gunther, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they had a great sale yesterday, so they can afford to keep a couple.
Is the Quality Road filly out of Just Whistle Dixie?
I believe that's out.
That's an out?
Yes. I believe Stone Street seemed to have a few outs.
Interesting.
So 331 is a Quality Road half-brother to Garana.
Hmm.
So, yes, plenty to look forward to today.
Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4. There's $6 or $7 million sellers right there.
Right, yeah. Oh, I didn't mention there's a 227 is a Warfront out of Egyptian Storm, who's a half-sister to Justify as well. It's one to keep an eye on.
Unbelievable. Well, the thing to keep an eye on is the bulletin feed from the TDN, TDN alerts. And when it comes to this sale, the phone is literally it. Well, don't make me say something inappropriate, Jess, but the phone bounces around on the table.
Yes, there you go.
on a regular basis.
We keep busy. Exactly. We earn our money today.
Hey, where's Christy?
She is out looking at, she's at farms, so she's looking at stallions. So.
Oh, really?
She's working. She's not slacking off.
So they left you here alone?
Well, I came back just for you, Steve.
You're sweet. And Jessica Martini, everybody. And, of course, Jess. And is there anybody else from TDN?
Christina Bostonakis as well.
The C-Boss!
Yes.
and, of course, C-Boss can, the multi faceted, because she can literally talk to consigners in French, English, and Greek.
Yeah, nope, she's got it all.
It's a rare talent. Our favorite Quebecois correspondent, Christina.
Mine too.
She's the greatest. What a team. You're just lucky. You know, how did you avoid being named something, some derivative of Christy? Or Christine?
It's so hard, you know. By the end of the day, it's like, Christina, one of you, either one of you, I don't care.
Well, the TDN coverage, out of this world, and always a treat. And we'll continue to alternate with some Nicole Russo and some Jessica Martini, our two go-tos for the most part. And all of this, of course, means to some degree that it took any number of correspondents to replace Lenny Kane Oakford, the long time, the original, the big mayor.
We're all trying to fill her shoes. That's all we're doing here.
And I understand she was quite the terror up in that press box. Did you?
You wanted to get out of her way.
There was, right?
Yes.
Her and Barbara Livingston would you'll find your footprints on the back of your head.
I think we've mellowed a lot in the press box since then.
Mary Jean Wall, actually, part of that troika.
Yeah, for sure.
Unbelievable. What a treat. Jess, see, that's why it's fun to come and do the face-to-face.
We should do this more often.
All right. Jessica Martini, everybody. Jess, good luck today. And you got the comfortable shoes.
Yes,
I do. You got the. She's got
I'm
the running
shut.
Shoes on. All right. Jessica Martini, everybody. Before we take the break, Lenny Shulman is going to be here momentarily to talk about his new book that he's done. Yeah, we'll get Lenny back. He's not going far away. But Phyllis George, the Phyllis George biography. That's in fact, Lenny's on his way here. He's got it. He's got the book. But first, let me get Josh in. Yeah, come here. Let's get Josh Blum. Jess, thank you. Pleasure. Buff, come take a picture too with Josh. Lenny, come stand with them, because I've only got room for so many photos. All right, there we go. Oh, Lenny's got his New York Ranger hat on, and there we go. Oh yeah, all right, we're in business. All right, I'm going to put the book. All right. You got the book with you?
No, what is it? A TV show?
You didn't bring the book?
Unbelievable.
He's coming to promote a book. He doesn't bring the book.
You didn't bring the book.
I didn't know you were going to be here with me. Unbelievable. I tweet stuff. I put pictures on the internet.
All right, I'll send you a photo.
All right. Okay. So that'll suffice. And you should have brought copies of the book for everybody. That's not nice. Yeah, you could have... Josh Blum.
How are you?
I'm great. Good to meet.
Nice to meet you.
You're working out west.
Yes, sir.
Who are you working for?
Michael McCarthy.
MWM.
Yes, sir.
Very nice. Wait, we can't. Don't call him Whitey.
No, I don't do that.
No, okay. Right. No. You're not old enough to.
I can't even call him Mike.
No, it's Michael.
Michael.
Exactly. Jay Pribman. I learned that lesson. Jay hit me with a golf club once. I referred to him as Mike McCarthy. Wham! got one right in the shin. Doing some bloodstock work, obviously. And what's your background? I mean, obviously, you know, you got a top-notch pedigree.
Well, I've been coming to the sales with my father for a little over 23 years, off and on, going to the races. And, you know, just some time ago, some years back, I realized I didn't know much about training. So I wanted to work with racehorses full time, and basically started volunteering at a equine rescue program, just all types of horses.
Wow.
Taking care of their basic needs, and started working on track with Richard Mandela, Hall of Fame trainer, and spent over 3 years with him. And I can't tell you how great of an experience that was.
No doubt. No doubt. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Atlanta.
Atlanta?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
So I wasn't around horses often.
No.
And, you know, didn't really know how to handle horsemen or horses, and just my horsemanship skills were lacking, and I learned so much from Richard, and just starting from the bottom, hot walking, grooming,
tremendous,
working in the office. I was very fortunate.
How about that? I didn't realize your family was from Georgia. You know, we check in with Jack D'Amico and with the whole, you know, Georgia Horse Racing Coalition that's been trying for years, and they're hoping that another initiative this year will get it going. But I didn't realize your family was Georgia based.
Yes, sir.
How about that? All right. So you get out to California, and you're obviously you've continued on, and now working, you know, for Michael. Are you making a transition toward bloodstock, or do you want to stay on the training side?
I'd like to stay on the training side. I mean, I love being around horses. Coming here is just a dream. I mean, I love being around this type of atmosphere, the experience, the knowledge you get from people all over the world, and just seeing the horses, the future equine stars of tomorrow, and just the training element is really what excites me, and I think I still have more to learn, but it's a pleasure being around the horses, learning the various pedigrees, and just spending time to learn to be able to be in a position to provide exceptional care and being a good ambassador to the sport.
Have you, you know, in terms of the horses that you're selling, we're tracking. It's just funny how it came up that you know, one of the horses that your dad bred is you know, ready to sell for a big number, and then you got the authentic hat on. This is Hip 247, Bridie Harrison, right out here. How many? I mean, are you basically kind of tracking or helping a little bit, or were you just kind of hanging?
I'm hanging. Honestly, I can't speak for Bridie or my father. You know, I know that he's been a popular horse, and you know, hopefully he sells well.
He's already named?
Yes, he is named.
Awesome.
Yeah,
his name is Awesome.
Awesome.
How did he get Awesome? That's unbelievable that name was even available.
Yeah, you know, my dad, he spends a lot of time and thinking into the names, and that's something he really enjoys.
So I love it too, and it is one of the fun, but it can also be maddeningly frustrating. This is an Into Mischief, out of Flawless, full brother to Authentic. I'm curious. I'm not going to ask you what the reserve is, but I mean, this feels like one that he could campaign just as easily as put through the ring.
Yeah, I mean, he's been showing well, and we just are hoping for the best. Like I said, I can't really speak for my father or Bridie, but it's just great being a part of the experience and coming here and having such special horses go through the ring.
What do you feel like is your next step? I mean, are you considering going out on your own? Do you want to? How old are you?
I'm 38.
How much more time do you want to spend, you know, under veteran horsemen?
Well, that's the big question. I mean, I think in California it's great for me to learn from as many people as possible. To see different ways, methodologies, different, you know, learn from the veterinarians. You know, that's the big question right now is what's next. You know, I love the East Coast. I'm from the East Coast. But right now I'm enjoying just being around the horses and doing what I can to assist and be a team player. And Hopefully, you know, over time that'll just determine itself. But the goal is to train.
I love it. We're talking to Josh Blum, Peter Blum's son, and he's working as an assistant to Michael W. McCarthy.
I'm not an assistant. I'm actually just right now. I'm just helping wherever I can, whether it's walking, you know,
whatever they have you do. Just
whatever
observing.
They have me do.
How about that? All right. Well, so are you looking to gain a, you know, to find a foreman kind of a?
Yeah, you know, I served as in a foreman role for Richard Mandela, and right now, I mean, it's not necessarily about a title as much as it is just about learning. And just being around the horses and seeing how the trainers approach different sets of problems and getting to just learn from them as much as possible.
Interesting. What do you consider the most challenging part of, you know, when you think about going out on your own and you know, attracting clients, and I'm sure your dad would give you a couple.
I hope so.
I would think. But what do you find the most challenging part of it?
Well, it's always a challenge in dealing with the people, you know, whether it's the people you manage, you know, given that some, you know, there's some language barriers there. But it's all about building, you know, a great team and you know, just seeing problems before they occur and knowing what to look for. On a daily basis and planning ahead to ensure that, you know, that horses are moving forward and you're not asking too much, too fast, and just ultimately letting, getting as much feedback from as many people as possible, whether it's the grooms, exercise riders, the jockeys that get on them, or, you know, the horses themselves, just always paying attention and being mindful.
You on Twitter? Have I found you on Twitter?
I don't think I have a Twitter.
Oh, you got to get a Twitter. That's how you're gonna interface with everybody.
I don't tweet very often.
That's all right. You don't have to. You can just as a way for you to interact with people. But we'll be watching for you to come east. Obviously, Josh, that's exciting. And best of luck on the ones that are selling. Peter Blum, Thoroughbreds, of course. As long as I've been following the game, the Blum family has had a big, successful presence.
Well, we hope it continues. So really appreciate you having me.
Not at all. It's great to meet Josh Blum, everybody. Let's take a break. Our last of the morning. Lenny Shulman has left the plantation, the famed Shulman Estate. And thanks a lot, Josh. And Lenny is going to – well, he's obviously not going to read – he's not going to read from the book because he didn't bring the book. He might read from the catalog, actually. Breeders' Cup nominated. Lenny Shulman is here, everybody. Lenny's going to join us. Quite fun. He's got the new book that is out or is coming out next week, and we got to talk about it. And we're in Kentucky, so the Phyllis George biography that he and Paul Volpone have authored, available next week. University of Kentucky Press? Of course it is. Lenny Shulman, a treat like few others. When we come back to Keeneland, got about 45 minutes left. We've also got to get a couple of licks in on the Kentucky Downs card, and of course, basically 9 races. It's like a normal race day. They were races 3 through 11. Now there are races 1 through 9. But it's the same 9 races that you handicapped and I handicapped. They'll be up at the website as soon as I get off the air. I've got to put together some pick 5 and pick 4 plays. Otherwise, we're ready for the penultimate day of Kentucky Downs. And then tomorrow we'll be back at KD to bring you the show. And then Churchill, Thursday and Friday. Stay with us. At the Races returns after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions.